Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, joined in the press box on this Sunday evening by Michael Remus. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. And Remo, it was a sort of an ugly game, not a very entertaining game, not an especially well-played game, but the Winnipeg Jets ultimately, in the end, persevere despite not having their best effort, and they come away with the 4-3 shootout victory tonight over the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah, I thought the first period was great hockey, back and forth. Second period, not so much, and same with the third period had a few goals, but I mean, if you're a Jets fan, you can't be happy with giving up a 3-1 lead yet again.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing for the Jets tonight that's plagued them all year is the number of penalties. They had 6 penalties, 2 unsportsmanlikes, and I mean, they were able to overcome it then. Not the way you would draw it up, but you know what? You get your 2 points and get out of there. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, ideally you'd like it to be the 2 points to come in regulation or overtime for the tiebreaker purposes later on in the season. But c'est la vie in that instance. Not terribly surprised about a bit of a letdown. I mean, this is as has been well documented, this was the final game in the seven games in 11 nights that the Jets were going through. And after the Thursday and the Friday, especially the emotion of the Friday night game in Chicago, you come home on this Sunday evening, you have the Arizona Coyotes in town. They're not going to bring a ton of emotion with them. They're not really a physical team by any stretch. They had played last night in Minnesota. So the Jets would have rather, you would say, a 3-1 lead late in the third period. I mean, a 3-1 lead with under 7 minutes to go in the third period should be a safe regulation win for the home team. But the Coyotes, they fought through it, and to their credit, they earned the 1 point. Probably an argument to be said that they didn't necessarily want to earn that 1 point when it comes to the Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel sweepstakes. But, they played hard for Dave Tippett tonight, and they get the 1 point. The Jets get the 2, and everybody leaves the MTS Center happy, not necessarily having seen the best hockey game, but happy with the Jets' victory.
Yeah, and you know the type of style of game Arizona's going to play, especially coming back on a back-to-back. They play that Dave Tippett defensive shutdown style. And, the one thing that I saw tonight for sure was the Jets' first game without Matthew Perreault, obviously out after getting cross-checked by Daniel Carcillo, and we'll hear what the verdict is on that tomorrow. But the Jets' power play over 3, and their power play was on fire since moving him to the right point. And they couldn't really get much going today on the power play in terms of shots.
I agree with you there. The whole team was really fighting the puck the entirety of the 60 minutes tonight. So, yet to be seen if Perreault's absence or the power play struggles tonight were a function only of Perreault's absence, or if they were also just the nature of how the game was played, with it really being a sloppy game, a game where the puck was bouncing here, there, and everywhere. So nothing too exciting today by any stretch of the imagination.
I thought the overtime was
great. Yeah, the overtime was good.
It was that back-and-forth hockey. Each team had a chance on the power play.
Yeah, it's hard for 4-on-4 hockey to not be entertaining, when you come to it. But, neither of these teams look like world beaters tonight. But the Jets get the 2 points, and, they may manage to continue to improve on their lead in the wild card race and get actually 2 points closer to the Chicago Blackhawks, who lost lost to Dallas tonight. So Dallas Stars only 2 points now out of the second wild card spot. So if you're looking at the playoff races, so the Stars are certainly creeping up, and the Jets getting that much closer to the Chicago Blackhawks. Of course, games in hand, et cetera, et cetera. Let's start with the goals tonight. The Jets opened the scoring as you'd say they'd want to jump on a tired opponent. They did so at the 4:08 mark of the first period. It's Brian Little getting his 18th of the year, assist to Andrew Ladd. It starts with a turnover at the Jets' blue line. The Coyotes are sort of pushing the play. Ladd and Little come back on a 2-on-1. Not the best pass in the world from Andrew Ladd to Brian Little, but Little's able to receive it very nicely. It's sort of a one-timer past Mike Smith, who's coming cross-crease. Real nice play by Brian Little here, who just continues to perform for the Jets.
Yeah, the Coyotes, they make an errant pass in their own end. It leads to a 2-on-1. I love this play from Brian Little. We saw early on the season he was having a bit of trouble getting off the one-timers from that side quickly, and there was a few chances in this game, including on that goal where he was able to adjust his body and fire it off quickly and get it low And on the far side, a pass to Mike Smith. A great play by Brian Little Andrade. Then that was the first of the two goals they had on two-on-ones.
Absolutely. The Coyotes tie it up still in the first period. It comes just about 3 minutes later, 3 minutes and 28 seconds later to be exact. At the 7:36 mark, it's Oliver Ekman-Larsson getting his 12th of the year, assist to Shane Doan and Marty Hanzel. A nice pass from Shane Doan from behind the net. Ekman-Larsson is walking in from the blue line a couple steps, and he takes a one-timer shot and is able to beat Andre Pavlik, glove hand, top corner, and it's 1-1.
Yeah, Ekman-Larsson, the defenseman, creeps in and parks himself right at the face-off dot on the left side, and Shane Doan, a big body behind the net, is able to get the puck to him, and he rips it off quickly before Pavlik can get set, and he shoots it to the far post. Pavlik maybe kind of deep at his net there, so that's why it was open, but really a great shot from a great defenseman, his 12th of the year.
After 20 minutes, it was 1-1 at that point in time, and the first period was the best of the periods that were played today. Andre Pavlik had to make a number of key saves for the Jets. One goal in the second period, it comes at the 1:39 mark. Michael Frolik with his 10th of the year. They say it's unassisted, but it's really not. Connor Murphy, the Coyotes defenseman, makes a picture-perfect tape-to-tape pass right on the stick of Michael Frolik as the goaltender Mike Smith is out of his net, having just played the puck, passed it over to Murphy. He can't handle the pass, goes off his stick right to Frolik, who's just, I mean, anybody in the arena could have scored that goal for the Jets.
Yeah.
And it's 2-1 for the Jets.
Yeah, Mike Smith, known as one of the best puck-handling goalies in the league, and you saw that tonight, but not there. That was a mistake. He was trying to go to the right side, and then he faked backhand. I don't think Murphy was ready for that one.
It was a tape-to-tape pass from Smith to Murphy.
It was kind of a sloppy pass and bounced off his stick. Obviously, you'd like to have it back.
I just think Murphy, it wasn't the pass that was the problem. I think Murphy may not have been expecting it, wasn't able to brace the pass as he normally would if he thought that Smith was going to come right to him.
I got to look at the replay on that one. I don't think it was a spectacular pass. He certainly wasn't expecting it, which was the big thing.
Fair enough. 2-1 for the Jets after 40 minutes, and as we mentioned sort of off the start of the podcast, the diminishing returns in terms of the action on the ice. Jets really outshoot the Coyotes 12-5 in the second period. Controlled most of the play, I thought, but it is 2-1 after 40 minutes. Third period begins with Dustin Byfuglien getting his 12th of the year, assist to Mark Scheifele. This is comes at the 9:36 mark. It's during a 4-on-4 when both Chris Summers and Evander Kane are in the penalty box, both serving unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. So coincidental minors leading to some 4-on-4 action. Coyotes have an opportunity in the Jet zone. Everybody's pushing, as tends to happen on 4-on-4. Turnover. Jets come back the other way. It's a great pass from Scheifele to Byfuglien. Mike Smith, no chance, and the Jets lead 3-1. And at that point in time, really, 3-1 lead, Phoenix, second half of back-to-back, not really playing for anything in terms of playoffs. You sort of thought it was going to be all over at that point.
And the one thing that was kind of funny about that play was, about 30 seconds before that, Scheifele was on the same 3-on-1 with Byfuglien on the far right, and I believe it was Wheeler who was trailing, and he chose to do the drop pass right before, and it was picked off, and the Coyotes went down for a
2-on-1 the other way, and then knocked the other way.
And the Jets went back for the same exact identical 2-on-1, and it's nice to see Scheifele learn from his mistake, not go for the drop pass, go to the cross ice to Byfuglien, who puts that one home. He's got a great looking wrist shot, Dustin Byfuglien. He just snapped it right past Smith.
Yeah, I mean, terrific play by Byfuglien, but you're right. End-to-end action with odd man rushes going both ways. So it's 3-1 at this point in time. There's not much time left in the game, less than 10 minutes, but the Coyotes make it 3-2. It comes on the power play at the 13:21 mark of the third period. Laurie Korpikowski gets his 4th of the year, assist to Winnipeg native Michael Stone and Keith Yandle. It's a shot from Stone from the point. Korpikowski's in front, tipped by Korpikowski, as we mentioned. Gets through Pavlik, and it's 3-2 at that point in time.
Yeah, this came off a penalty by Mark Stewart. That's what led to the power play, where he kind of ran Sam Gagner from behind at center ice. Gagner was shaken up, looked like he might have had a little whiplash, and he went off. And that was a tough penalty to take for a team that's leading the league in minors right now. And Korpikowski, he's all alone in front. Dustin Byfuglien's kind of off to the side, and And that's the way they were playing, and he was able to tip one past Andrei Pavlik. I can't really fault Pavlik on any of these last two goals. They were all by guys in front all alone.
That's right. I mean, on the penalty there by Stewart, it's a very bang-bang play. You know, yeah. He's probably a split second late, and as a result, he gets called for interference. If he's, you know, if the puck is a half a second slower, you know, it's just a good, clean hit. But as it is, he gets called for interference, you know, as, you know, when you're the most penalized team in the league, the refs are going to keep a closer eye on you. Stewart gets called for that, much to the chagrin of the 15,000 and change off-ice officials here at MTS Center. Coyotes make it 3-3. This comes at the 16:10 mark. We said they didn't go away today. Tobias Reeder gets his sixth of the year. I actually liked his game a lot today. Shane Doan and Keith Yandel get the assists on this one. Jets are just sloppy. They're taking chances. The Coyotes get a good scoring opportunity. And Andrei Pavlik has to come up very big with the save. Jets are unable to clear the zone. Goes back to Doan at the point, and his shot, you know, sort of trickles through. Dustin Byfuglien doesn't tie up Tobias Reeder's stick, and it skips through Pavlik, and it's a 3-3 game.
Yeah, it's the same thing, and you gotta give a lot of credit to Andrei Pavlik. He did make the big saves when he had to. He made one right before this, and yeah. As you mentioned, you know, Doan fadeaway wrist shot, just trying to get it on net, and you gotta tie the guy up in front. Can't do it, and it was redirected into the net.
That's right. So but 3-3 at
redirected by Reeder.
Redirected by Reeder.
Yeah, that was that's what they're calling the Coyotes broadcast, a redirect.
A redirect? Oh, that's clever.
Yep.
No, it's not. When's Richard coming back? Jets,
I'm trying.
Yeah, you're trying. Maybe, you know, we'll leave the comedy to the experts of Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Before the end of the third period, though, at the 18:25 mark, and I think everybody in the arena had sort of a feeling of dread coming over them, Dustin Byfuglien gets called for an intentional offside, which I thought was a good call. I thought it was a clear intentional offside.
He tried to keep the puck in. He couldn't do it. And then, you know, to stop the play, he just touched it. And you can't really do that. He should have, you know, gone back or gotten in deeper. And he couldn't get it deep. He was frustrated and touched the puck. And that's intentional offside.
It was a reasonable call by the linesman. Byfuglien protests and gets called by the official for an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. I'm not crazy about that call in that instance. It's a 3-3 game. There's less than 2 minutes to go. I mean, I don't know what he said. Maybe he said the magic word on the ice to warrant the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. But in any event, Byfuglien gets called for unsportsmanlike conduct with less than 2 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And the Jets are fortunate. I mean, actually, the Coyotes didn't really have much of many great scoring chances on that power play, which is, you know, good to see from the Jets' perspective. Considering how well the Coyotes' power play performed when they met in Arizona about 10 days ago or 11 days ago. But Jets are able to kill off the end of regulation, go to overtime, earning at least 1 point, and then they kill off the remainder of the penalty in overtime, leading to some 4-on-4 action.
Yeah, and going back to that Byfuglien play, it was about a minute before that where Evander Kane appeared to beat out an icing, but a whistle was blown. And Evander Kane, you know how he is with the refs. He was giving them a bit of the lip service, and you wonder how much that affected this unsportsmanlike call. Maybe it just added up and they had enough. But I agree. I don't know. We don't know what he said, so you can't judge. But you'd prefer not to have that call in a tie game. But you know what? They're able to kill it off and get into overtime and get the 1 point.
That's right. Guarantee themselves at least the 1 point. Jets actually had their own power play opportunity in overtime. It was an entertaining overtime. Keith Yandel hauled down Dustin Byfuglien with a minute and 5 seconds to go. Jets were able to get some scoring opportunities. Blake Wheeler almost deposited in just at the buzzer, but Mike Smith was up to the task, and we went to the shootout with the score tied at 3-3. Blake Wheeler shot first for the Jets, no goal. Sam Gagner first for the Coyotes. He missed the net altogether. Evander Kane for the Jets. Mike Smith made the save. Antoine Vermette for the Coyotes. Andrei Pavlik with a nice save. Brian Little gets the Jets on the board first in the shootout with a nice shot going top corner on Coyotes goaltender Mike Smith. And then Shane Doan, former Winnipeg Jets player, in sort of a fitting end to the shootout, had to beat Andrei Pavlik to stay alive. He did not, and the Jets were able to win 4-3 final here at MTS Center tonight.
Yeah, the Pavlik was great in the shootout. I'd like to see the Jets score a bit more in the shootout as well, but Little was able to do it. He was the hero in LA. Does it again here, and he's the hot hand. I'm not crazy about Kane on the shootout. He hasn't had a lot of success in it in his career.
Well, he scored the last time he was in the shootout last week.
Oh, that's true. He did score.
It's a shootout.
It is a shootout. I mean, it's a pretty much a coin flip. I mean,
yeah.
Andrew Ladd was very good last year and hasn't been great this year. So, I mean,
exactly.
Who knows? But a nice one. You would have liked to see them score on the 4-on-3. They did have some nice movement. Little had a nice pass to Bufflin on the left side for a one-timer. But couldn't quite get it past Mike Smith.
Yeah, you look at the time on ice in tonight's game, and the Jets really just played their top six forwards, for the most part. Even the third line for the Jets, the Matt Halaschuk, TJ Gagliardi, and Adam Lowry line, did not see a ton of ice time. Gagliardi only getting 7.23, Matt Halaschuk 10.54, Adam Lowry 12.31. Jets really rode their top of their lineup. Dustin Bufflin leading all skaters, 27 minutes and 33 seconds. Toby Enstrom at 24:35. Ben Sherratt over 20 minutes as well. Then you look at the forwards, Andrew Ladd, 22:55. Brian Little, 22:18. Blake Wheeler, 22:37. So the Jets really, you can see, the depth is a problem on the lines without Matthew Perreault being there. And it's going to be something that the Jets need to address. They got one game left. They have Wednesday night at home to the Columbus Blue Jackets. You hope you're not going to be without Matthew Perreault too much longer after the All-Star break.
Yeah, the Blue Jackets have been suffering from injury problems of their own. So, I mean, if you're going to face two teams here without Matthew Perreault, who's been the hottest player in the league since November 18th, the Arizona Coyotes and Columbus Blue Jackets, two teams who are looking out of a playoff spot for this year, that's two pretty good teams to play against when you're missing one of your top guys.
That's right. The Jets end up winning tonight. It's a 4-3 final against the Arizona Coyotes here at MTS Center. Remind you, there's post-game audio from both the Jets and the Coyotes dressing room on IllegalCurve.com, courtesy our colleagues Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Manuk. Programming, though, Tuesday, 6 p.m. NHL Midweek will be on TSN 1290 with the Jets and the Blue Jackets on Wednesday. We're moving to Tuesday for NHL Midweek this week, so be sure to check that out for our analyst and producer and, I don't know, whatever else you do on this fine podcast there, Michael Remus.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.